We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And we're live. Welcome to the RG DFS Tournament Takes podcast. I'm your host, Chris Kirkwood, here with my two boys, the notorious one, Noto, Derek Farnsworth, and Bobby Gomes at Bobby Gomes DFS. What's up, fellas? We're back for a special division, wildcard divisional round here. This is our last show of the season. So first, just want to say thank you for everyone who's listened, commented, and been a part of our show for 18 weeks plus this one, but I hope you enjoyed it. Hope we're back next year again. And again, thank you. And thank you to both of you guys, Noto, for joining the show since we didn't have JSU. Thank you for stepping in flawlessly, bringing your great content every week, all your stats. Bobby, always a pleasure working with you as well. Thank you for doing it again. And how we doing? What's up, Noto?
Yeah, what's up, guys? I've told you guys a few times this is my favorite hour of content that I do every week, so I really like doing the show. I'm kind of sad football's coming to a close. It's been my best NFL season in quite some time, so I'll attribute that to doing the show with you guys for sure.
Yeah.
Don't lie out of the gate.
Hey, no. There's got to be some correlation there.
I'm happy we're wrapping up, but yeah, it's been a good year. Me and Kirky beefing half the show before the show and coming on and Noto having to basically walk us through so we're getting everything back on track and stuff. But yeah,
there's no beef. There's no real beef here, Bobby.
No, it's just like we're just arguing about like the stupidest stuff imaginable pre-show. If you guys can hear the pre-show, it's usually pretty funny. But yeah,
all right.
I've had a great time on the show this year.
So what we're going to do with this show, we talked pre-show to how we're going to handle it. We're going to go the two-game slate and then the three-game slate. So we're just going to talk about the two games Saturday and then the three gamers on Sunday. And we'll do QB, you know, running back QB, wide receiver stacks, tight end, defenses, the whole gamut. But maybe more strategy involved about how to actually ship something, whether it's small field or large field. And any advice you guys for people that will help for this episode. And with that being said, the overarching theme here is weather, right? Like for me, at least on the two gamer, we start out with Cleveland at Houston. Flacco amazingly has propelled the Cleveland team to a playoff berth against Stroud. So there's no weather implications there. It's in the dome. It's got a nice 44.5 point total. Flacco's been passing. Stroud's been slinging it. Looks like we got we don't have to worry about anyone cutting into Devin Singletary and stuff like that. But that looks like a good game. And then the other game, which would be juicy as all you know games get. Started out with a 47.5 point total as Miami at KC. And the Chiefs are currently a 4.5 point favorite, and the total is now down to 43.5, started at 47.5. And that's because it's going to be absolutely record cold. According to Roth, he says absolutely frigid, a 10 to 15 mile per hour wind with gusts around 25 miles per hour will put the temperature likely around 20 to 30 degrees below zero. Feels like temperature. It's going to be dropping well below zero as the game goes on in this game. So this is extremely cold. There's extreme winds. So this is some tough playoff weather. But we do have electric teams. I don't know if cold slows down speed because Miami's got the speed, but it'd be interesting to hear you guys' takes on that game. And then on Sunday, we've got Pitt Buffalo. It's going to be cold, windy, and real windy, like gusts of 35 mile per hour or higher, potentially some snow, but snow ahead of time, they say, the bulk of it. But regardless, it's going to be cold and windy and possibly some snow as well. And then the other two games are indoors, Green Bay at Dallas, the Rams at Detroit. Man, there's a lot of juicy narratives in that Rams-Detroit game. I'm sure the Blitz is going to be spitting out a lot of that. But, yeah, so for me, the whole thing is about weather. So how does the slate look to you, Noto? What are your thoughts with the weather games?
Yeah, you have to think weather is going to impact ownership a lot. I could see everyone stacking the Cleveland-Houston game on the Saturday slate and then kind of avoiding the Buffalo game on the Sunday slate. So it will be interesting, but we kind of had the same situation last week on Saturday that we had the Ravens and Steelers in a bad weather game. And if you just ignored that game and stacked the Colts and Texans at night, it was kind of the path to print. So I kind of think I'm just going to play the weather and hope those games are pretty bad, but interested to hear your guys' takes as well.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. Sorry, Kirk, you could go. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no, I was saying Bobby. I was saying.
So, yeah, for me, like, I find it interesting as well. Like, we have currently Tyreek Hill for 56% ownership. I think that's going to be lower based on just what we've heard about everyone kind of taking the under in the weather game, in the first weather game, in the second, well, not the first weather game because Pittsburgh Buffalo is obviously a weather game too, but in the Miami KC game. And I just want to get over on Tyreek. I don't think that the ownership's going to be the ownership. He might come in at like 35% maybe
that's industry or like around the industry. Everyone's projecting around 35%. So we're higher there for sure. And maybe that'll be tweaked.
So I did all my write-ups and I basically went off our stuff and now I'm starting to think through it. And I'm like, maybe I definitely want to treat this like a showdown slate and get over on these guys that obviously have ceiling and I think that are going to come in lower owned. So, I'm interested in this Miami game and I'm probably going to have to go back and do my write-ups. But if you're listening to this, then you kind of know where I stand. Definitely going to be over on Tyreek, over on A-Chain. And going to have more written work because I need to fix this. Currently.
Yeah. All right. So how do we want to do this? Do we want to talk about position by position or do we want to just talk about each game?
You're the host, my man.
All right. We're going to go like we always do position by position, but we'll start it off at the running back position, get that out of the way. So the highest ownership guys looks like it's going to be Singletary coming in the highest. Right with Pacheco, both of them right around the same. The main thing here is that the usage for Singletary has been incredible. You know, he's played on 80% of the snaps last week, running a route on 77% of the Houston's dropbacks. And he had 100% of the backfield touches. So this is his backfield, which is just crazy. I would have never thought that going into this season, but that's where we are. So he looks like a bargain. I mean, he's a full workhorse. You know, the Cleveland D has been pretty good. I'm going to pull up Noto's. They've been, they're rushing DVOA. Has been ranked number fourth, so they've been very, very good. But 12th in DVP, the running back position. But you know that you can earn more fantasy points on the ground than really trying to attack their passing game. Although I will say that Denzel Ward, who's been amazing this season, I think he rolled his ankle or something yesterday. I don't know how serious it is. Did you guys catch that at all?
I did not. I'll look at that right now.
All right. But regardless, Singletary looks like a workhorse. Now, he may not be very efficient. He may not have such a huge ceiling in this spot. Pacheco, you know, looks like the guy with the ceiling to me. Coming in at 6,400, you know, you can play whoever you want pretty much from the running back position anyway. He's got, you know, 30 coming off of a big game against Cincy. 32.5 fantasy points. It's his backfield too. He had 18 rushes. Thing is, he's getting passing game work because they have to, but 7 targets, 7 receptions against Cincy in week 17. So supposed to be healthy, good to go here. And let's pull up the Miami matchup data. Miami is 16th in DVOA versus the run, although they haven't given, you know, a lot of people have had more production through the air from fantasy point perspectives, but I think that's just more because, you know, of the way that Miami puts up points. But I think in this playoff atmosphere, you know, Pacheco is going to be used pretty heavily probably. Then from there, there's Achan. I've got nothing bad to say except Mostert looks like he's trending to come back, but he may have lost the backfield already anyway, but you never know. Jeff Wilson's run well too, but you can't deny the talent on Achan. Then there's Jerome Ford. He kind of feels like the sneaky play, although he's going to be 40% owned, so not very sneaky, but like he kind of feels that way to me. Although you could make a case that Kareem Hunt, you know, they like to give the in the red zone, but I think it's going to be, you know, now we're in the playoffs, it's going to be Jerome Ford's backfield. And other than that, there's no really low owned play. Some people will play Clyde Edwards-Helaire, CEH, but I won't be. Maybe Mostert gets some love because people think he gets right back into it. But I don't know. Who are your favorites, Noto?
Yeah, like you mentioned, the two obvious plays going to be Singletary and Pacheco. With Pacheco's matchup, so the Dolphins are signing players off the street right now. They're missing their top 5 linebackers: Jalen Phillips, Connor Williams, Bradley Chubb, Cameron Good, Andrew Van Ginkle. Not Connor Williams, but Jerome Baker was the 5th guy. So they're signed. Like Melvin Ingram's out there. He looks like he hasn't worked out in years. It's just bad right now. So in the cold weather, you got to think Pacheco's going to get 20-plus touches. And then on the other side of that, the best path for Miami to keep this game close is to run the ball, just because their defense is so bad and so banged up right now. And if you look at KC, I think they're bottom 5 in DVOA against the run, bottom 5 in rush EPA. So I do like the spot for Achan. I think Mostert's an interesting pivot too in that spot. And like you said, I think the Cleveland backfield, if you can get it right, if we have like all these running backs score 15 points maximum and you get a 1-yard touchdown from Kareem Hunt, I think that could be good enough for you. So there's some interesting tournament plays for sure. But if you're playing single entry cash games, just start with Singletary Pacheco and go on from there.
What are you thinking, Bobby?
Yeah, I like the Achan Mostert getting overweight on them. Just because.
Let me ask you a question. Are you okay with playing them both on this? It's a 2-gamer, for sure. So anything goes, right?
For sure. I think anything goes. It's also like when it's this cold, yeah, it stinks for the offense, but it's also not great for the defense as well. And these guys are super fast. Not that they're powerful or anything, but it's just a matter of like, I don't know. For me, Achan and Mostert make sense as tournament plays. What are we showing for Achan's ownership? Like, I would imagine it's around like 25%. Where we have him currently, yeah, we have him at 39.
I've got him at 23% from around the industry, just an average.
Yeah, so I'd be trying to get overweight on both of those guys because I think a lot of the ownership is going to go to Singletary, going to go to Pacheco. So probably at most one of Singletary and Pacheco. It's a good pass catching matchup for Pacheco. So if they get behind, he has been utilized more in the passing game. So I wouldn't mind him there. Singletary is showing the strongest everywhere because he's getting pretty much the bulk of the load. But he does lack ceiling relative to these other guys. When you talk about Kareem Hunt and Ford, Hunt had, I think, two touchdowns versus Houston. I know for sure he had one a couple weeks back at the goal line. In that game, Flacco and Cooper also went off.
He had one in there.
He could have had two. He was like very close to having two, if I remember correctly. But yeah,
So here's something I like kind of. So their defense, you know, Houston run defense has been very good. They've held enemy backs to 3.3 yards per carry. So like, let's say like, Devin Singletary is the workhorse. Let's say Jerome Ford's the workhorse and doesn't get in the end zone. And they're better through the pass. And then Kareem Hunt, you know, gets the red zone carry, gets the high value touch that gets the touchdown. I mean, that could separate you totally in this.
Yeah.
Plus you save some money. But again, it's also some. I mean, that's realistically plausible, but it's also wishful thinking at the same time. But you got to get it right. You got to do a lot of things to take down a two gamer, especially in the playoffs.
Yeah, the problem with the Browns is since Flacco's taken over, they're like top three in pass rate above expectation, and I mean he's throwing 40 plus times a game, and then this is a pass funnel matchup, so. But yeah, I do like Hunt, and hopefully he gets that touchdown. And then, you know, if all the other running backs get 15 or something, then you're looking pretty good at 4,700.
Yeah.
My Zin.
What happened?
I had a Zin in, and I almost choked on it for some reason.
The Nicorette stuff, whatever.
Yeah. If Zin is interested in sponsoring the show, reach out to Devin.
I had never even heard of Zin.
I'll do the read. So I think that's interesting. Like on the two-game slate, we're just playing for ceiling. So like a guy – that's why I'm just – these Miami running backs look more and more appealing at these ownership clips and pretty much everyone on Miami with speed and ceiling. I don't know. Hunt, I think, is an people are going to play Ford, maybe you get a little bit closer in terms of exposure with Hunt to Ford. But for me, it's more the Miami backs everywhere, just trying to get as much as possible.
So, all right, let's think through like single entry, like smaller field stuff. So the obvious way to play this to me seems like just from us talking right off the bat is just playing the running backs in this Miami KC game, playing Pacheco and HN for their ceiling. And then just concentrating, you know, load up on the passing games with Flacco and Stroud shootout type. Is that the way you would play it? Or do you think that'll be too popular?
That is what I said I was going to do in the expert survey. So I'm worried it's going to be too popular.
I'm gonna probably play Mahomes. I just think that like the Sims currently are pushing everyone to like Mahomes and Flacco, and I think more people are just going to play Flacco for the savings or Stroud. And I could just see myself really getting to Mahomes, getting down to like Rasheed Rice, Watson, and then paying up to these Miami guys, and then getting one of Houston, whether it's Nico Collins or Amari Cooper on my teams, and then rotate the Miami guys through. I don't know.
I mean, the crazy thing is we just saw this matchup in week 16 and this game absolutely went nuts. What everyone's playing Flacco for is the 42 pass attempts. I mean, he put up almost 30 fantasy points. He had 42 pass attempts and he wasn't efficient at all. He was only 27 to 42.
That was with the backup starting for Houston too.
Yeah. And he threw two picks and he still had 30 fantasy points. So I think Amari Cooper went absolutely nuke, right? Or was it Njoku?
Yeah, 265 and two. They both went nuts, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what people are going to want. They're going to want 42 pass attempts in a dome.
And Flacco probably would have had more pass attempts against the Jets, but they were up by like four scores in the first half. I think he had like 300 yards in the first half, and then they just stopped throwing it.
Just no pushback. So I think that's going to be the popular way to play it. So let's just go to QB. Flacco is going to be the most owned. It looks like Mahomes right behind him. Stroud, in the same ballpark, a little bit lower, and then Tua is going to be the extreme low on the play, which kind of feels crazy to me, but I get it because the weather and the offensive line. But I feel like KC's defense has been, although they've been very good, I don't feel like they've been tested that much. I feel like they're overvalued, but maybe I'm wrong. That's just the way I perceive it. But man, that if you can on a two-game slate, the quarterback with the best weapon, like the cheat code, who on offense with Tyreek Hill and Waddle's back, is going to be like potentially around 10%. That just seems crazy to me. I get it because of weather, but I don't know. So how are you going to approach this one, Noto?
Yeah, I hate to disagree with you, but I don't want any Tua. I mean, he's been held under 20 fantasy points in six straight games. KC's fourth in fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks. They're really bad against the run. So I kind of just like attacking the running game there. But, I mean, if they do get behind, you mentioned it. I mean, he's got Tyreek in a revenge game. So maybe he gets a ceiling game here. I like Flacco. I'll eat the chalk. I just think they're going to throw it a ton. He's got the best matchup of the four quarterbacks. I like Mahomes. Sort of a little bit different there. And then I don't know what to do with Stroud. I'm interested to hear your guys' takes. I mean, he's had an awesome season. And, I mean, he does have some rushing upside. Maybe once we get into the playoffs with the tougher matchup, we'll see even more of that. But, I think I prefer Stroud over Tua, but definitely prefer the other two.
Yeah. I'm kind of I prefer Mahomes, like I said, and that would probably be Flacco. I think Stroud will probably come in more in line with Mahomes. The ownerships are close anyways, but maybe you see Stroud coming ahead of Mahomes and just try to get a little bit of leverage on Mahomes. I'm just going to play as much Mahomes and Flacco as probably possible.
What are you going to do? Load up? So you're going to play Kelce.
I'm going to play Kelce. I'm going to play Watson. Right. I played Watson on that Christmas Day slate, and I got that touchdown late. Also, the Raiders D, I did pretty well. And I just feel like no one wants to really play the roulette of Kansas City Chiefs receivers, but I think it might be more condensed now that we're in the playoffs. So, Rasheed Rice, Watson, Kelce would probably be.
Yeah, everyone says it's, like, hard to predict it, but it seems like it's Rasheed Rice is the clear number one. And then and Kelce is Kelce. Now the thing about Kelce is he's looked like crap the whole second half of the season. He looks stiff as a board. But the only thing I can think of is like I think back to like Gronk, who has also looked as stiff as a board when he was on his way out, but like saved it up and then crushed on their run for another Super Bowl in Tampa. But I feel like they've been saving Kelce for this game, right? Or else, do you have an opinion? Do you think he's cooked, or do you think that makes sense more that he's gonna really bring it in the playoffs.
I think you're on the right track. I think he's gonna bring it in the playoffs. He's older, right? He's 34 years old. The issue is within the context of the slate, we have two really good tight ends in Schultz and in Njoku. What exposure do you want to give to Kelsey? For me, playing Mahomes, I know I'm going to be over on Kelsey. It's also like short area passing games probably going to be something that is more important for this KC team. Not that Njoku is a bad play. Schultz, I think I would prefer to Njoku, even though Njoku's been Flacco's binky per se. But yeah, I'm going to have all three. I just think that I'll probably have a little bit more Kelsey than I'm going to have Njoku. I'm definitely playing Schultz. I think Schultz is in a very good spot.
Yeah, and again, Miami, they're without their top five linebackers. The guys they're bringing in, they're not going to know the system. They're not going to be – I mean, Melvin Ingram is incredibly slow. I think Kelsey's going to have a big day. I think he's washed, but I think he's got enough for another
– He's got enough for – yeah, like, yeah. He's like – you got to leave it all out on the field this season. Like,
it is getting – I will say this. Like, if you stack up that game, it's getting expensive. So you need value plays, at least from that Cleveland and – I would say Houston game, and I just don't know if I love – and it's one of the reasons why I don't love the QBs either, because I don't think that you can double stack the QBs on a two-game slate. You need ceiling. I know Elijah Moore, he grades out well. It's a good matchup. I couldn't even tell you who is it. Hutchinson is the secondary receiver for Houston. Like, Nico Collins caught all the balls.
So, yeah, Noah Brown and Robert Woods, both questionable, both missed last week's game, both limited on Thursday. So, if they're both out, then you got Hutchinson and Mechie.
If Brown's playing, he'd probably definitely be my favorite.
All right. I loaded up
Mahomes.
I loaded up Mahomes, Pacheco, Rice, and Kelsey, and I threw A-chain as the run back. That lineup doesn't look so bad, although you're going to – I mean, so this is definitely like a two tight end week, I think. But, like, you're going to have to do a cheap two tight ends. You're going to have to grab someone like Brevin Jordan, who I think could be a good play. But
I thought that last week, and I think he caught one pass.
Yeah, I didn't even know he was on the field last week. Yeah, I mean, you can still get like Amari Cooper, Elijah Moore. You could go with Michi.
Is this the Noah Gray week after everyone played him in week 18?
Could be.
If Kelsey's dust.
I could play some Gray just to get the leverage, blah, blah.
I doubt it's his week. I mean, he could get a touchdown, I could see, but.
Yeah, but a touchdown might be all you need, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Dude, Smythe's actually been decent.
Yeah, Smythe, you can play him. He's 3K.
We kind of skipped over wide receiver, but.
That's all right. We're free form this week. This is the final show. So let's do it there. Let's go back to wide receiver. So the highest owned wide receiver is going to be Amari Cooper, smashed against Houston to the tune of 54.5 fantasy points in week 16. 15 targets from Flacco, 11 receptions, 265 yards, 2 TDs. Just nuts performance. Flacco's going to – in the dome, Flacco should be airing it out. There's nothing – I mean, he's been a clear wide receiver one for a while, so there's nothing – I have nothing bad to say about him. Nico Collins has looked unstoppable too, just produces he's going to be next in line. Both of those guys should be over 50% owned. Rushy Rice, the number one option we just talked about for KC, is going to be high owned. Then it's going to get – people are going to want the savings from, like, Elijah Moore. And who's potentially out? Let me pull it up. It looks like – all I see is David Bell. Who's the wide receiver? Is like Cedric Thomas or something? Who's the other?
Cedric Tillman.
Tillman, that's right. And he's banged up.
Yeah, he's been ruled out already.
So he's ruled out. So that's why Elijah Moore is getting a much better projection. And David Bell is in the picture. And then there's even like the potential for a few deep plays from like Marquise Goodwin. Potentially, I think that's someone that, you know, who could catch a long touchdown. Won't get many opportunities, but I think that's possible, at least on the Cleveland side. And then on the Houston side, we're looking at, like I said, Nico Collins. Robert Woods is questionable. It looks like he's on track to play. And so does Noah Brown. Those guys are both iffy, but they look like they're on track to play. Do you have a take there? Do you think they're both going to suit up?
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, they both got one limited practice in. I think one of them got two limited practices in, but kind of looks like they'll be questionable. I kind of hope they're out because everyone's going to flock to the cheap 3K guys in Hutchinson and Mechie. And, I mean, they combined for two catches last week with Brown and Woods both out. So I kind of like the fate of those two.
So, like, for that reason, would you like Collins more than Cooper? Because we know, like, Cooper got to compete with Njoku. Cooper's obviously showing higher ownership, but it seems like it's very condensed in Houston. Singletary and Collins are, like, two of the – Singletary, Collins, and Schultz, I guess. Very easy, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I love Nico. And if you look at his numbers indoors, he's averaging 24 fantasy points per game this season compared to, like, 11 outdoors. I don't know if there's any too much into that split, but I think he's a great play. And some just tells me Texans are going to sell out to stop Amari after what he did to him a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. I think I side with Nico. Ward was banged up. I'm going to pull it up right now.
Yeah, said he's got a knee injury and he's questionable, is what I saw.
Cleveland's defense hasn't been as good on the road as it has been at home. I think the splits are pretty drastic too.
Yeah.
So he suffered a knee injury in practice on Thursday, and he's legitimately questionable heading into the weekend, they said. So a dinged up Ward only helps the case for Nico Collins.
Am I crazy for not liking Tyreek at all?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
If I put him in, I have a hard time building lineups. And KC has only allowed two receivers all season to top 100 yards. Both of them were secondary receivers, Christian Kirk, Josh Palmer. I mean, it's the revenge game, so they're going to have all their attention defensively on him. Bad weather, Tua in the cold, I don't like. I don't know.
They're also going to know how to defend him too, right? Like, I feel like they'll probably play safeties. I would imagine two safeties back there. So I do like the Bill Belichick thing.
I mean, if you're making multiple lineups, you got to get some Tyreek. But I think in my single entry, I'm going to take my chances with the fade.
I feel like he's going to come even lower owned. I feel like
– Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why I want to be over, because I feel like – everyone's going to have the same thought processes.
No, everybody's thinking, okay, so they're going to think Andy Reid knows how to stop him. Record cold, wins, and Tua is not the most accurate quarterback. And Andy's expensive.
57% ownership. I don't think there's any way that holds.
Yeah. If there's a coach that could get him the ball, it is McDaniel too. And I'm sure he's going to be doing everything he can to get the ball in his hands.
This sounds like a Bobby Gomes, Lock, Tyreek Hill kind of slate.
It might be, yeah.
I think it.
And one of him or Achan, the more I think about it. I was totally on the other side of this prior to hopping on the show. So,
but I mean, this guy. This is like the cheat code.
I mean, they have a team total under 20. That's got to be the first time it's been under 20 all year, right?
I'd probably hit that over.
Yeah, we do our own. We make our own numbers over here, Noto.
I'm on board with Achan, so we're on the same side there.
Oh, I'm warming up to Tyreek. All right, I feel like I'm going to play Tyreek.
What about Waddle, the ultimate tournament play?
Yeah, everyone's what did Ricky D say? Everyone's ultimate tournament play that never gets there. Yeah. Ultimate leverage.
That works.
So, okay, so now let's go to the Miami-KC game. We've kind of just touched on all these guys anyway. So, Rashee Rice, great play to me. Tyreek, I love. Bobby loves. Noto is lukewarm at best.
Can't wait till he does the peace sign.
He's out. He's not. It's not even lukewarm. It's cold. He's cold.
You know the game. You know your slate's over when the deuces go up. Yeah. All your money's just draining.
After at least it's the second game, so I can't get burned until the nighttime.
Okay, Bobby likes Justin Watson as the cheaper play, right?
I like Watson. Yeah, I like gray. I like the gray call too. I'm not like I'll be
MDS. Get out of here. Get out of here. Learn how to catch.
No way. No way. Not a chance.
Yeah, like it's going to be record cold in this guy who has stone hands, right? Like that's what he has, stone hands.
He'll be the one that does it to us, though.
Yeah, he's going to. I hear you. What about Mecole Hardman?
I was just going to bring him up. I think he's the guy if you're playing
a cheap. That feels good.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel good. You've never said that in a sentence before in your life. It doesn't
No,
feel
but
good.
It makes sense. It's like Andy Reid. Busts him out. He's got like the confidence, like of you know, he with Mahomes, who's Mahomes has no confidence in any of his receivers.
He's caught his last seven passes from Mahomes. That's got to be better than anyone else on the team.
Week 18 had 11 targets.
He had 18. He had 11 targets. Week 18. Yeah. I'll play some. Like
that was like without.
Yeah, it wasn't Mahomes.
Everybody.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it was Gabbard in.
Doesn't matter. What it says to me is they're getting him up to game speed and like they're gonna launch him.
Getting him warmed up.
Yeah. Wasn't he supposed to be the complimentary piece to Tyreek and then just never matriculated?
He was why they got rid of Tyreek.
Yeah. Oof.
They didn't need him. They didn't need Tyreek. They didn't want to pay him because they had Mecole Hardman. And I'm just saying that.
What if Waddle's out? Are we playing Wilson?
Yeah.
If Waddle's out, you're for sure playing Tyreek. No.
Double down on the fade. Play all in on Wilson, Cedric Wilson.
No, Kadarius Tony, right?
Berrios and
yeah, Bobby loves Berrios.
Yeah, I don't mind Berrios.
You know, he brings you back that Wes Welker Edelman feeling he gives you.
I wish someone would do that. I wish there was a receiver in the league that could kind of do that at this point. But
Cooper Kupp, maybe.
Cooper, yeah.
What about Richie James?
I like Richie James. I do. He's definitely better than MVS and Tony. I just don't know if he's
going to.
In time.
I think I agree with you. I think I would go. So I think I like Rashee Rice the best. Obviously, I think he's the number one. I think I would put Mecole Hardman, and that's just me like totally gambling above Watson, and then I would go down to Richie James, and that would be it. I think that's what I'm thinking. All right. What about let's talk about the tight ends. Two tight ends, totally viable because we've got good tight ends. We've got Dalton Schultz, who's cheapish at 4,400. It's going to be very popular, especially if like any of these other secondary pieces are out, you know, it just gives them more of a floor. But I like Schultz. Then there's Njoku, who absolutely nuked. Well, he didn't nuke like Amari nuked, but he's actually been getting more targets than Amari. He's kind of like their number one receiver. I like him at 5,600. Kelsey, 6,100. Man, that price just seems too cheap. Playoff Kelsey, it feels like we just have to go there. And if he's dust, he's dust. We die. If we die, we die. And then the cheapie I was talking about, the two cheapies, we'll say three cheapies that we were all talking about was Brevin Jordan, potentially. Dern Smythe and Noah Gray. And these are, we're trying to win a big tournament here. So that's what we're talking about. Those guys, although Smythe, the targets, you know, he's certainly been a bigger piece of the offense the last 4 weeks of the season. So I'm on board with those guys if it makes your lineup work. But what do you think in Noto?
Yeah, it feels like there's more tight end options this week or in this two-game slate than there are most main slates. I like it. I like the two lineup builds. Njoku's probably my favorite. Kelce next favorite. But don't mind mixing in Schultz, Smythe, Gray. I think it's a good position.
All right. Defense. Oh, make sure you don't have like your
– I got a tight end rule. Take here?
Oh, sorry. No, we covered them all. Go ahead. My bad.
So last year on the slate, I think it was San Fran and Dallas was the game. It was the late game. And I was winning like 108. I was in first. And Schultz, McCaffrey got a touchdown late, and Dallas ended up getting the ball back, which was awful for me. And Schultz needed like – I was down like two catches, and Schultz got like three, and I wanted to absolutely just – oh, it was just the worst feeling. I dropped down significantly. And this, I'm not making that mistake. Schultz is negative correlation off of Devin Singletary and Collins. Like, I'm locking Schultz. I'm pretty positive. Like, I know he's going to be high-owned, but he's the one I want. I feel like Singletary will probably be higher-owned. Yeah, they're condensed, whatever. If he gets the touchdown on the goal line and it's not Singletary and I'm going higher on the Miami running backs, I don't know. I'm very bullish on Schultz this week. In the match,
if I could play three tight ends in one lineup, I would.
Yeah, I probably would too.
Kelce and Njoku and Schultz.
Yeah, I like them better than the cheap receivers for sure.
Brevin, like I said, the other guy shot in the dark. Smythe is probably the most realistic cheapie.
He stinks, though, but I know he's been better, but he is bad. I'm just saying. Just throwing it out there.
Defenses. So what I was trying to say is make sure, you know, if you're hand building, it's fine. It doesn't matter. But if you're optimizer building, make sure you have the defense's limit rule turned off. You know, so you can allow like as many players as you want against your defense. Cause defense is random. Sometimes you can have all players against your defense on a two game slate. It makes no difference if they catch a pick six or it enabled you to have a much better, stronger build, like just use it. So make sure you have that turned off. Texans are going to be popular. Chiefs are going to be popular. Browns are going to be popular. Dolphins are going to be the absolute lowest owned because they're missing like half their defense. But Noto, what are you doing? Do you care about this?
Yeah, the best correlation play of the week, Joe Flacco, Texans defense. He's going to throw picks, and that's going to be good for his production because he's going to have to keep throwing. So, yeah, I like both those plays there. But I also like KC at home in the cold versus Tua.
Yeah. So for me,
against Tyreek, are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's interesting that the Browns and Texans are showing as high ownership as they are, but it makes sense, right? All these guys, they're going to be throwing so much. Like the play Noto called, I will be playing some Dolphins D for what it's worth, even though, yeah, I'm going to have Mahomes, but just correlating with them, the D with my running back. But I'll be playing all the defenses, so I don't think it really matters.
A little defense roulette. All right, we spent way too much time talking about the two-gamer. Now let's head over to the three-gamer. Pull up here on Sunday. Okay, the three-gamer starts out with Pitt at Buffalo. Like I said, the extreme weather in that game, plus Buffalo is a heavy favorite. They are up to minus 10 right now, and the total is down to 35. Wow, it sounds like a nice tease, though. Can I do a Wong in the playoffs, Noto? Can we get a Wong going here or something?
Do the super tease, the 13 point tease. No way they get 48 points.
I like the super teases. Just throwing it out there, specialists.
All right. Who are the four you're going with?
I haven't thought about it yet, but I'll have it by the end of the show.
Okay. Bobby Betts.
Green Bay at Dallas, McCarthy against his former team. Cowboys look legit, but we're going to, see what happens in the playoffs. And then the Rams, Detroit, that's the Coors Field, as they say, of the NFL, the Dome in Detroit. A lot of narratives in that one. Matthew Stafford against his own team, old team, and Jared Goff against his old team and coaches. So, interesting. Amon-Ra St. Brown has been vocal about how Goff is ready to stick it to them. So, I know this game means a lot. Playoffs, everything. This game could be bananas. So, all right. Quarterback position. We've got for ownership, looks like Dak is going to be the highest owned. And that's just going to be a correlation thing with CeeDee Lamb, who's been the best wide receiver this season. So huge ceiling for both of them. Also, Jaire Alexander. I know Bobby said he's not a thing anymore, but I still think he's somewhat of a thing, but he has he's banged up again, hurt himself in practice again. So that'll be interesting. But Jared Goff looks like the next highest owned. Matthew Stafford against that Detroit secondary looks pretty appealing to me at a little bit of an ownership discount off the top two. And then there's Jordan Love. Then there's Josh Allen. And if you really want to go for it, it's Mason Rudolph in the cold, gusty winds against Buffalo, who's going to get absolutely no ownership. So we're starting with QBs here. I made the executive decision instead of the running backs. What do you like, Noto?
Yeah, this is going to be an awesome slate. Can't wait for this one. I don't have a lot separating the quarterbacks in the indoor games. I don't think you need to go to Rudolph. Allen, I wish he was cheaper because I don't think anybody's going to play him, and he does have a ton of rushing upside even with the bad weather. But, yeah, I mean, I love Dak. It's a great spot for him. His splits at home are incredible this season. Same goes for Jared Goff. Anytime you get him indoors, his splits are very good. And then, I mean, Stafford against his Lions defense, their biggest weakness has been giving up big plays in the passing game. They've been really tough against the run, so you kind of get some leverage off the Kyren chalk. And I probably won't play Love, but he has been playing really well over the last few weeks. So, my top three, Dak, Goff, Stafford. That's not a hot take, but I think they're all in excellent spots.
What are you thinking, Bobby?
Yeah, I'm going to flip it a little. I'll go Goff, Dak, Stafford. I do have interest in the Stafford stacks, like getting a Puka for the reasons that Detroit's pretty much giving up a lot of big plays. I think Puka's going to come in less owned than I think the majority of these guys. So like Puka, like Stafford, definitely CeeDee and Dak and Goff and Amon-Ra. It's very easy, condensed to offenses.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the popular play to just stack up that game and then throw some Cowboys with it. Seems to me, if you can get him in there. Aaron Jones is going to be popular. Let's go to the running back. Aaron Jones is going to be popular. Tony Pollard is going to be popular. Kieran Williams. And then there's Gibbs. This is a wild running back. We got a lot of running backs here. James Cook in the cold. Last week was the easiest money I ever made, and all I had to do was pick Najee over Warren because Warren was projecting higher, and there was going to be a clear Najee game. This, I feel like it's going to be opposite. I think it'll be a Najee game as long as Pitt hangs in it. But if Buffalo pulls away, it's going to be a Warren game. And so that's what I would bet on and take. But like, we've got my favorite guy, David Montgomery, too, who's probably going to be the lowest owned of all these guys. And then the crazy plays, like the one percenters, are going to be Rico Dowdle, Leonard Fournette, and that's about it. What do you think of running back? No.
I mean, I look at the projections, and tells you to play Pollard. I've done that all season. It hasn't worked. Even when he has a good game, it seems like he maxes out at like 18 fantasy points. I think Dallas is going to do it through the air. So I'll probably be underweight on Pollard, even though he projects really well. I like all the other guys you mentioned. Gibbs and Montgomery, I think you could play or make a rule to play at least one of those two in your MME builds. It's a really good spot for them at home. Kieran, I mean, I wish he was more expensive because he's just so involved. Detroit, very good against the run, very good against running backs, but he's going to get 20-plus touches. He's, you know, got a knack for the end zone, like Aaron Jones, James Cook in that weather game. And then I agree with you on the Jalen Warren call. If they do get behind, I do think it's going to be a Warren game. But, man, didn't he fumble like three times in the bad weather last week? That does worry me a little bit.
Yeah, and I mean this game may be a slobber knocker where it just stays close.
Yeah.
Bobby knows a couple slobber knockers.
Yeah, I know a couple. So for me, running back position, waiting for my stuff to load. Sorry, guys. Now my opto's down.
Sims are down.
Yeah. Now everything's down. Should have seen me on the show last night. It's a disaster. I'm definitely going to be under on Pollard. Kieran at 7,300. Like, I feel like he's just a very good play. Yeah. What's Fournette's availability? Like, are they going to play Fournette? I haven't dug too deep into the slate.
Yeah. So last week in their it was must win. Latavius Murray was inactive, and sounds like their other backup, Ty something.
Johnson, yep.
Ty Johnson. I think he might be out this week. So
he got concussed, and Fournette was like in on the goal line doing the tush push for Allen. That's the one thing, like going back to quarterback, Allen's floor could be super high. Not that I would prefer him to any of those other guys, but I mean, it's Josh Allen. He's not showing a ton. He's not, I feel like those other. I'm not getting as much of Allen as I probably want, I think.
Watt's going to be out, right?
Yeah, Watt's out.
Watt's out. Like, Allen could get two rushing touchdowns, just throwing it out there.
Yeah, I agree.
And, like, it seems like what do we have for his ownership?
I've got him around 12%.
Yeah, I think we should come in over on that.
Kirk, but he's not making – sorry, can you stop making dumb throws for our Bills futures bet?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if he can. I feel like it's impossible.
You know what it is? It's going to make it even sweeter when it hits. It's like we're going to have been like swearing at him so many times. And like in the
I end, hope you guys are betting back. I hope you're betting back.
I mean, yeah, if they get to
this week, but
AFC Championship, I'll probably hedge. Although I have some Browns futures too. So we get a Browns Bills mashup somehow.
I won't hedge until the Super Bowl if he gets there.
Yeah, I only had one in the AFC.
I had the Patriots, the Malcolm Butler year, winning the Super Bowl for $10,000, and I'm winning like $90,000. And yeah, I never bet back, and I probably should have. They were down 14 points twice to the Ravens and came back, and I was really sweating it out. So make sure you're betting back in the AFC Championship game. Shoot. Yeah, running backs, I think I'm going to come in on under on Pollard, over on Kieran. James Cook, I do worry about, like, with the weather. Like, it's a good pass game matchup. They don't really need him in the pass. Like, that's why I say I think it makes a case for some Fournette. I don't know where Fournette's currently priced, but I also just think Allen could steal. Fournette's 4,400. Fournette could just be in there for the touch push and maybe, like, one goal line carry. So, yeah, it makes me – the more I think about it, I like Allen more on the slate. I prefer Warren to Najee, like Kirk. Aaron Jones I don't love. I never like playing him. I know Kirk plays him, but, you know, that's pretty much
running back. I love him, and I love him again. So he got 22 carries last week in a must-win game. He got five targets. You know, he put up 22 fantasy points against Chicago, who's been a much-improved D. And did not have any touchdowns. If he can get some touchdowns, and you can run on Dallas, it's easier to run on Dallas than it is to pass on Dallas. I feel like they're just gonna, you know, Dylan is still out. As long as Dylan's out, I feel like the sky's the limit for Jones. I feel like I gotta play Aaron Jones.
They finally got him the ball in the air last week.
Yeah. So,
oh, did you did you bet that receiving over with me?
Probably not. What was I supposed to do? I didn't do it. No.
The Aaron Jones receiving over.
No, I didn't. But I did bet Joe Mixon touchdown.
Ooh, that hit early.
Anytime touchdown. All right. Wide receiver. Is this crazy? Is this right? Is DeMarcus Robinson the massive chalk?
Yeah, because there's no value.
Yeah.
It's probably like Warren did in the context of the slate.
All right. So we'll talk about that. There's DeMarcus Robinson. There's Amon-Ra St. Brown. And then there's CeeDee Lamb. Those two are gonna, you know, those are the two top studs. Then there's Puka. Jameson Williams is gonna be another value piece that's gonna get a lot of love. Khalil Shakir is gonna be somewhat popular after when Gabe Davis was out. You know, he left in the first half of that game, and it was the Shakir show from there. He had 105 yards on 6 targets, 6 receptions. And sounds like, I know, Stephon Diggs has been saying that, Gabe Davis, they're going to win this one for Gabe. He's made it sound like that. He's definitely not going to be playing, but again, massive win in that game. Brandon Cooks, he's just been killing it, and, he never gets played enough. So I'm interested. Cooper Kupp, obviously. Josh Reynolds, a little revenge narrative there. Jaden Reed. Diggs is going to be loaned because of the weather. There's Melton. There's George Pickens. I mean, there's a lot of decent receivers. So how are you narrowing this down, Noto?
Yeah, I do like the values. I think that's where you're going to get your cheap plays on the slate is a wide receiver. My favorite is Jameson Williams. You know, we saw him have a bigger role in the second half of the season. Didn't play week 18, but it sounds like he's going to be good for this one. Shakir with Gabe Davis out. Man, that's that Sunday night game, whatever it was, between the Bills, Dolphins. I never played Gabe Davis. I was like, you know what? I'm putting him at captain. He got hurt. Like, first they threw a pick. I don't know what Josh Allen was doing to get – anyway, it was just bad decision. Don't play Gabe Davis ever, I don't think.
I had a good slate. I played that showdown. I had a good one, but I was so pissed when James Cook dropped that touchdown right in his hands.
That was bad.
Yeah.
But, yeah, up top, love Lamb, love Amon-Ra St. Brown. Don't really have a preference between the two. I don't know what to do with the Rams' expensive guys. Do you have strong take on Kupp versus Puka?
No, I really don't. Bobby?
I think I prefer Puka.
I'm always worried I'm going to pick the wrong one of the two, so I just never play either one.
All right, yeah. So per fantasy points, touching on DeMarcus Robinson, like Noto said, he's one of the best pure values of the slate. They're saying this is per fantasy points. Robinson has exceeded 13.5 drafting points in each of his last 5 games, earning almost as many end zone targets over that stretch as Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua combined. He's had 8 end zone targets, and Kupp and Nacua have 9 combined. So I guess it does make sense, but it just feels weird to me.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm fine with DeMarcus Robinson. I might flip flop him and Jameson Williams, depending on how much Goff I end up getting to, which I think is going to be a significant amount. So, but yeah, that's my thoughts in that situation. In terms of the receivers, like CD, Amon-Ra, don't really have to say much. Would prefer CD over Amon-Ra St. Brown. I think he's my favorite. Khalil Shakir down there at 3,400. I think Shakir with Gabe out could beat Williams and DeMarcus Robinson. So maybe I should be more interested in some Shakir. Outside of that, that's pretty much – I don't really have a ton on receiver. I think it's self-explanatory. CD, Amon-Ra.
He's in play to get, like, a designed run, too. like a end around type stuff.
Shakir almost broke one the other night on that Monday night slate. I think Shakir is a good player for what it's worth.
What about Josh Reynolds?
No.
Revenge.
Yeah. I'm a sucker for.
Oh, maybe I guess revenge. I would have more Jameson Williams than Josh Reynolds for sure.
So
those guys are kind of right.
But knowing Dan Campbell, he's going to give Reynolds 15 targets.
Who do you think wins this game? I think the Rams win this game. I would bet the Rams. 3-point dog.
Yeah, I bet on the Rams already.
Yeah, they seem like the obvious dog, but that's what like makes me scared a little bit. What about Mr. Bo Melton?
He's looking good.
I heard he actually has more routes than Jaden Reed lately. He looks good, yeah.
That's surprising because Jaden Reed's been, I think, fantastic all year. But
yeah, it's pretty close. And Reed, I mean, he commands more targets. But yeah, if Dubs, we got to wait for Dubs and Watson, I guess.
What would you do if Watson played? Like, I doubt we're projecting him for much.
When they brought him back that first time, they just limited him so much. I would worry about that.
Yeah, Green Bay limits all their guys and they come back.
They limit them coming back, and they've even talked about it too.
Situation is different with it being the playoffs, though. But
yeah.
So Melton's been getting designed rushes too. I like Melton. All right. Tight ends. We got Ferguson, the probably the best of the bunch for sure, 4,700. Although without Gabe, Dalton Kincaid, you could make the argument that he was the wide receiver too. So it was Shakir and Kincaid in that game. You know, he had eight targets, seven receptions in a must-win game against Miami, 84 yards. Didn't find the end zone, but could have. I do like Kincaid. Looks like a big ownership discount off of Ferguson. Then there's Tucker Kraft, who even with them bringing Musgrave back, it's that situation we just found, like with Watson. They're just it's kind of getting him back into the swing of things slowly. Tucker Kraft looks like he's still the number one tight end. Other than that, if maybe Brock Wright or James Mitchell, if you guys have a take there, Dawson Knox is always live for a touchdown, I think, at 2,900. And maybe I'm interested in Bobby likes Freiermuth at all. But what do you like, Noto?
Yeah, I had to laugh because I was just going to say my favorite first touchdown bet of the week, Dawson Knox at 20-1. I think they're going to play a lot of 12 personnel without Gabe Davis. And, yeah, I think he'll be on the field a lot. Don't love the weather in that game, obviously. But, yeah, I think tight ends are good. I don't think I'll be using two tight ends as much as I will on the Saturday slate. But I like Ferguson quite a bit. Everyone else, I like Kincaid, but the weather worries me. Everyone else I don't feel that great about.
I didn't even mention Higbee.
Yeah, he's 3,400.
Has he had a decent game this year? I just haven't like heard his name at all.
He did. He went for 19 in week 12 against Arizona fantasy points. He had two touchdowns in that
game. He's been very bad. Davis Allen seems like the future there.
Seven targets week 17. They sat him as a a rest week 18.
I think I like Higbee a little bit at 3,400. Maybe because people just aren't going to play him and he's easy to get over on. And I do like Stafford and the Rams offense. My favorite tight end would be Ferguson. And then I'd go Kincaid. I do like Noto's call on Knox too. Freiermuth, I don't really have a ton of interest in. Unless Buffalo plays two tight ends because he kind of eats that up. So I don't know. For me, Freiermuth would probably be my least favorite the more I think about it. I'd go Kraft out of Freiermuth. And What are you doing with Brock Wright? Are we doing anything with Brock Wright at 3K?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't either. I think we probably should. I mean, how stupid were they to have Laporta out there?
They should have never put, like, yeah. They deserve to lose Sunday night. They deserve to lose. I'm sorry. They do.
Yeah. All right. Defenses, Bills leading the way in the weather, 3,500 against Mason Rudolph and Pitt and their fumble problems. The Steelers are next in line just because of that game, and they're cheap at 2,600. Real cheapy is the Packers at 2,300. Can make more work there with them. And then the Lions and Cowboys, 3,100, 3,600. I mean, I'm sure people would want to play Dallas, but salary is tough. But, I mean, should the Bills really be that much higher on defense than the Cowboys for just $100 more?
I don't think so. Yeah. No, especially with the weather. I mean, we're just going to get both teams running the ball a ton. That's not what you need for fantasy production from your defense. You want teams throwing.
You want sacks, fumbles. Yeah.
I'm seeing the Lions at the lowest, like Stafford versus the Lions, where he's definitely throwing a pick. I'm with Noto. I want people throwing the football, especially versus my defenses. So I don't love Steelers and Bills getting the exposure that they're getting.
All right. That's all the positions. So single entry. How are we shipping this late, Noto?
It's a good question. I haven't done my article for the Sunday slate yet, so don't have my thoughts finalized, but I really like I'm trying to think of ways to get different, but yeah, I don't know. Go to Bobby and circle back.
Dak and CD, throw in Brandon Cooks.
Yeah, Brandon Cooks, I like a lot. I like that call. What are you doing? Who are you putting there? You're going to fade Pollard?
Yeah, no Pollard for me.
I'm fading Jones. On the Pollard
train. I don't know if I'm going to fade Jones. If I'm going to play Dak and CD, I don't know if I'm going to fade Jones entirely. Like you said, he was utilized in the pass game last week. That was kind of the worry. The usage is there. Three games late, so I can bust it.
Are we worried about – all right, so we're doing – are we – I mean, in that weather game, I want to play James Cook. Are we worried that playoff Lenny arrives?
I do think playoff Lenny arrives. I do think that that's going to be something. Like, they have shown no reason to – they don't seem to have a ton of trust in James Cook for whatever reason. So, I think you should definitely have exposure to Lenny on that slate at 4K. I just think Allen might be the – the play that you just play Allen and just if he I think Allen scores at the goal line, could get two touchdowns at the goal line. So,
or even just Dawson Knox throw in there.
Yeah, the 20-1 bet. Yeah. Liked.
They're doing the trick push now, right?
They are, and that's where when Lenny gets in, because they want the bigger guy pushing.
Yeah. Fun.
All right. That's a wrap for the season, fellas.
Yeah. Do we have the 13 team teaser?
Oh yeah.
16.5, 16.5 for the Rams.
Well, that's actually good for playoffs normally.
Yeah,
right?
It's good for playoffs. I'll go Buffalo 6.5. Actually. What's the over under on in the Buffalo game?
35.
Yeah, 35.
You get 13 the other way. I'd probably go under on what's
under 48.
Under 48. And then Green Bay plus what?
20.
Plus 20, yeah.
Get the Rams up to 16. Did you say that one already?
Yeah.
Buccaneers, maybe. Do you guys like the Bucs on Monday?
All right, so you got to do a four-team teaser. It's got to be four, right?
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah.
Maybe.
We can get this one, guys. We can get this one. The Rams is the Rams is the starting the starter.
Yeah, I think Rams and then the Bills under 48. I think I feel good about that.
So what the Bills plus, you can make the Bills plus 3.5.
I'd rather just take the under, I think.
Yeah, I'd rather just take the under with the weather.
You could do both. All right. We got to play around with that, but I'll do a 13-point teaser with the boys. Let's get it.
Do we have the – what was the four that we had? We didn't give one.
We got Bills under, Rams. You get Texans up to 15.
Oh, we're doing the whole weekend. All right.
Do we do Texans or do we do Cleveland? We do Texans?
Either one. Or I like Texans. I like the Eagles. I mean, I like the Bucks, not the Eagles.
And we're not going to do the Packers.
I'm with the Texans. Yeah, don't do the Packers. I thought it was the full. I thought it was just the three gamer.
All right. So it's a 13-point tease. It is. The way I have it, because you don't like, so I got to get Buffalo out of there. I have under in the Buffalo game. I've got the Rams. I've got the Texans. And then who's the last leg?
What do you guys think about Bucks plus 16?
I mean, I like that, but I feel like there's no way Buffalo, I mean, there's no way Buffalo loses this game.
Yeah, but why even risk the 3.5? Why not just take the under?
Yeah, both.
Does the never tease through zero apply to super teasers? How does that work?
It's still a key 3.5. Three is a key number, so you're getting a.
What about other totals?
I worry about Buffalo. You guys have too much already locked up with Buffalo. Let's go the other way.
I got. How about over 31.5 in Browns Texans? They got to score 31.5.
Oh, definitely. All right.
Over 31.5 Browns Texans. St. Louis. I mean, L.A. Whatever. What are they? Plus 16.5.
So here it is. Sweat one with the boys. Term and Takes podcast. Final week. 13-point teaser, playoff style. We've got the under 47 or 48 in the Bills game. We've got the Rams plus 16. We've got Houston Texans plus 15. And we've got the Cleveland Brown Houston game over 31.5.
Yeah, lock it up.
Lock it up. Thank you for listening.
We have the Houston side. We took Houston.
I don't even care. I feel like that game's going to be.
What did we take?
We have Houston plus 15, but I would have been fine doing either way.
Okay.
It would have been plus 11 on the Browns.
I like Houston.
You like Houston? Okay.
Yeah, plus 15 for Houston.
So we're good. This has been the you want to say any final words to the people? Thank you for listening all season, for giving us crap in the comments, not liking our energy. What else do they? But anyway, serious note, happy to have you guys listen. Hopefully we'll be back next year. We usually are. And we'll keep this thing going. Noto, final words.
Yeah, love you guys. Thanks for listening. Let's get this four-team super teaser and Dawson Knox first touchdown.
Bobby Sim.
Yeah, thanks everyone for listening. Appreciate all the support all year. Looking forward to next year.
All right, this has been the RG DFS Tournament Takes podcast wild card divisional round edition, and we will not catch you next week. We will catch you next year, next season. Thank you.